You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that wants to know what kind of fruit is on your island. I'm Cody, and I have apples.
I'm Sam, and I have peaches.
I'm Josh, and I have cherries.
That's Samantha, and I have pears. Are we all different?
I think we might all be different.
How did that happen?
Holy crap.
Wow.
I think we have like the perfect mix.
So, hey, thank you all for tuning in this week. We have a great show for you. A whole mess of check them outs this week and some news. But first, let's talk about the things we've been checking out. So who wants to start?
Quarantine cast.
Yeah, we're all calling in from our own hermetically sealed bunkers.
deep
beneath the Earth's surface.
Yeah, I'm on my secret moon base personally. So yeah, do we all want to start talking about Animal Crossing? That seems to be kind of the one of the big ones for the week.
I mean, one of us, everyone is playing.
Yeah, one of us is playing it right now.
But which one is it? You'll never know. So Animal Crossing New Horizons came out a week ago this past Friday, and it is phenomenal. I've been having a massive amount of fun with it. What about you guys?
I think it's my favorite one they've done, honestly.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, there's so much going on, and like I was worried about the crafting that it would just be like a pain, but I think it just gives it a little more depth that makes it that much more enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah,
it definitely gives it some more oomph, some actual gameplay to it.
Yeah, a little more to do in the downtime between waiting for your buildings to build and people to show up, that sort of thing. I've been enjoying that. I've been enjoying the randomly generated separate islands you can go to. I like those a lot.
We should probably explain what the game is.
Yeah, we probably should. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
It's a weird communication life sim style game where you move into a deserted island and fish and catch bugs and plant flowers and talk to animal friends
and start building
infrastructure. Sounds incredibly dumb, but it's not.
It's not. It's a lot of fun. And like I mentioned, you're building a lot of infrastructure because every couple of days you get a new building that does a different thing, like a museum so you can start cataloging all of your bugs and fish and stuff. And a shop and all sorts of things. And I think more than anything, it's just very relaxing and zen.
Yeah.
Except which is what we, if like, you know, the tarantulas show up.
I'm surprised they put something that antagonistic in it. I mean, I like it. I think it's fun and it's funny.
Same here. Yeah. But yeah, those
things. Surprising they did it.
Those suckers go right towards you.
Like the first time, like I was like knocking on trees for wood. And a wasp nest fell out, and I was like, "What? Oh, well, this is bad."
Yeah, yeah. Have you passed out from getting stung by wasps yet?
Yes.
Same here.
It doesn't punish you, but it feels bad enough that you don't want it to happen.
Like, yeah, you don't lose anything. You just kind of get reset back at your house. But like, yeah.
But like, it happened, and then like my face is all puffed up, and I went to talk to somebody. They're like, "Oh God, what happened to your face?
What's wrong with your
stung
face?"
By a wasp. Yeah. And I was like, "Oh, gee, thanks." But then I got the recipe to make medicine.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which require wasp nests.
Yes, yes.
I wish I would have known because I sold my wasp nest to the stupid Tanuki brothers.
Oh yeah. All right, so of the villagers that you have in your town so far, which one's your favorite? Just rapid fire.
Renee, like a goth horse.
Nice, nice. I have Marina, squid lady. There's not too many of the squid people. Yeah.
I want a squid. I have a bird robot named Sprocket.
Nice, nice.
But he's one of the jock personalities, so he's always talking about his sweet gains.
I have a lion named Bud who has a soul patch, and he is constantly lifting weights in the town square. Yeah.
I got a purple frog girl.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Diva?
Yeah, I got Diva.
And you too.
And then nice. I got this squirrel guy. He's always saying cardio. Like, all the time. Like, he ends every sentence with cardio.
Nice.
It's like the yoga instructor from Agretzko.
Protein.
Yeah, the big buff cat guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. but yeah, I've been really enjoying the game. I really like it a lot, and it's a good game that you can pick up for a little bit and then put down and be done for a little bit, and then, you know, you do some chores, you do some stuff around the house, and then you pick it back up and you play it for another 20 minutes and put it back down.
Yeah, because you don't want to do too much on your island, because if you like take away too much, and you'll need something later, and it takes forever for it to grow back.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like I read like horror stories of people like clearing all the rocks off their islands and stuff. Really.
I did that.
Yeah,
I did that the first day. I broke all the rocks in the small area you get to start at.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily, at least one came back later.
Well, that's good.
How do you break the rocks? Is there like a pickaxe?
You eat fruit.
Oh,
and that makes you stronger, and you can break the rocks.
Okay.
And you can shovel full trees out of the ground.
So you can move them.
Yeah, so you don't have to plant them. You can actually shovel a full fruit tree from somewhere else and replant it.
Hmm. That's how you move around your Bell's tree. Because you guys know how to plant the tree that grows money, right?
Yeah, the money tree. Yeah, you put it in the glowing yeah. hole.
Yeah.
Oh, I kept trying to figure out what that glowing hole was.
Yeah, you
throw money in it.
Oh.
You throw money down that hole and eventually a tree grows.
It like triples what you put in as long as it's like a denomination of 10. So you can do 1,000 or 10,000.
Yeah, 10,000 is the highest you can go with it, I believe. I think it's where it caps off. At least that's what I read online. I'm not 100% sure.
The first thing I tried to bury a tool in there and see if I would get a golden version of the tool, because that used to be how it worked in like the GameCube one.
Mm-hmm.
But that did not happen.
Ah.
I just found it later when I was looking for fossils. I'm like, what's this? Oh, it's the axe I buried earlier.
Oh, man. So I had a thought when I was playing earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot how much like coal mining town style like Tom Nook does with everything. Oh, here's a special phone I made just for this. If you want something, yeah. It's in my town. You want to pay back your debt, but you don't have enough money? Well, here's Nook miles you can build up.
Yeah, pay me with my own currency.
Hey, listen, he offers a loan with zero interest, and he tells you you can pay it back whenever you want. That is like a dream.
I still think he's trapping you in a Jonestown style situation.
Yeah. With those announcements every day?
Yeah, everybody has to listen to my announcement. I'm making you all move to a tropical location, and only one person can leave, and when they leave, it's to go find other people to move in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a cult simulator.
That's it, yeah. Well, to see people talk about the game online, you would think it is.
Yeah.
It's been, yeah, people have been going nuts over the thing. And I mean, pretty good reason why, but... Yeah.
I love seeing the stuff other people make in it.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, same here.
The customizable stuff?
Yeah, which I've been having a lot of fun with the pattern designer, too.
I have, too, yeah. I've come up with a ton of shirts, and I customized my Nook phone the other day.
I got the thing to do that, but I haven't done it yet.
Yeah, it's a little finicky, but I was able to make one that had it looked like a Power Ranger shirt with
nice.
Red with the white diamonds on the front. So hey, I gotta stay on brand a little bit, you know.
I want to do one that looks like an NES controller.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah. Well, I can go ahead and do another check them out real quick. We've spent 15 minutes on Animal Crossing, and so we should probably move on to at least something else.
It's probably more than anybody wants to hear us talk about Animal Crossing, to be honest.
And I'm sure this isn't the last time we're going to visit the islands full of animals. But no, the other thing I've been checking out is, so I've talked about Bad Movie Night on here a lot over the past couple of years. It's a... It used to be a monthly, or at one point bi-monthly video series at Studio 35 in Columbus, where you'd go and this guy edited down terrible sci-fi and horror and action movies into hour and a half chunks with a bunch of extra clips and goofy stuff and like explosions and all sorts of fun, cool stuff in them. And this is going to be their last year. They decided that 10 years, they've been doing it for 10 years, and they decided that this was going to be it. And because of things going on, the Bad Movie Night for April has been canceled. However, they have started putting them online. And so I've been going back and rewatching a bunch of old Bad Movie Nights. Like, it's the whole episode. It's like the whole production.
Wow. Beginning to end. How are they legally doing that?
Well, probably they're all, not. They're, well, all I know is that I am downloading them from the Google Drive they've been putting them up into as quickly as possible.
Yeah,
just
I need
in
to
case.
Grab those then.
Yeah. They have 9 of them up right now. So I've watched a couple of them. I watched Star Slammer, about a women's prison in space.
I remember that one.
Yeah, that one where the jailer got her hand cut off and it was attached to a chain, like a handcuff with a chain, and the inmate starts swinging the hand around. Like, oh, yeah, it was pretty great. So watch that one. I watched another bad sci-fi movie called Rotor, about a robot cop that goes crazy in downtown Austin, Texas.
Maniac RoboCop.
Kinda, yeah. And yes, the hero of the movie is this guy who looks like he has chronic back problems. And the character's name is Barrett Coldiron.
So rad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And like at one point he calls in he'd been working remotely with another scientist to develop the Rotor robot. And he calls the other scientist in, and, you know, she shows up. She looks like, and this movie was made back in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. She shows up. She looks like a school teacher, like a real big, poofy, you know, full-length dress, kind of a weird haircut. Looks like she had a perm mullet with a skunk stripe down the middle. and Barrett Coldiron is explaining how, you know, Rotor, he's been going crazy, and it kind of pans off to the side, and he gives this long soliloquy. And by the time he's done, it pans back over to the other scientist, and she is wearing army fatigues and like a wife beater, and is like friggin' jacked. Like, she just goes, "Let's go get him." And that's not part of the goof. That's just part of the movie on top of everything else. But no, they've been putting out a whole bunch of those, and it's been a lot of fun going back and not only laughing at the bad, terrible movies, but it is sparking old memories of going to Studio 35 with folks and seeing these in the theater. Cause I remember the nights that we went to see those down there.
late nights.
Those super late nights. God. Yeah, it is. I'll be honest. It does take a little bit of the punch out of watching it when you're not in a rowdy, half drunk crowd at 1 a.m. But
oh yeah, that always made it fun.
Yeah, but it's a lot of fun, and I'm definitely going to hang on to these. And if we ever do movie nights here, you know, I'm going to throw one of those in, because, man, they are just phenomenal.
Do you remember Atlantic Rim?
I do remember Atlantic
Rim. Yes.
That one was oof. That one was bad.
It was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that it became a Mystery Science Theater movie.
It did, yeah.
Yeah, and they were like, I've seen that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's part of the last Netflix season.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I can't wait until they put... I remember the first one we went to when we started going down to there. Was it a Hologram Man, about the guy with dreads who turned himself into a hologram to do crimes?
Yeah, that was the first one we went to.
Yeah, they haven't put that one online yet, but I can't wait to revisit that. That one's going to be a good one for sure.
I want Dr. Alien.
Yes, Dr. Alien. Yes.
That might be my favorite one. It's got the song.
That song was... in the intro to one of the other movies. So that's on there right now. So I sat and listened to Killer Machine.
That's right. That's what it was called. Killer Machine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Rotten. Just totally rotten. But yeah, can't wait. Yeah. So and they'll probably end up on there sooner or later. They've been putting them up about once every couple of days. They've been putting a new one on there. So it's been fun. It's been a really good time with it.
Monster High was also a good one. That was legitimately funny.
Yeah. Monster High was like good.
The movie itself.
Was it Monster High or was it Slaughter High? Because I remember Slaughter High with Marty, the class geek that everybody comes back for a class reunion in the abandoned school building.
No, did you Monster guys go to that High one? Is the one that ends with a basketball game against students and the monsters in the high school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember that one. Yep. Okay. Yes. I remember that one.
It just goes completely off the rails toward the end. Like maybe like at the beginning, they were trying to make a actual like a slashery 80s horror movie, but it just gets so stupid and funny. And the movie itself leans into it about halfway through.
It's like the director gave up halfway through and is like, well, okay, whatever. This is what this is now. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun going back and watching a lot of those old ones. And yeah, I can't wait to see more. There was another one I just remembered. It was Dead Heat with Joe Piscopo and Treat Williams. About yeah, and it was about a pair of cops, and Treat Williams was like the straight-laced cop, and Joe Piscopo was the dumb one. And Treat Williams dies, but somehow gets turned into a zombie. And like when he gets brought back to life, he looks just like a normal person. But as the movie goes on, he is slowly decomposing.
So like my boyfriend's back?
Kinda, but it's also a cop thing. And Vincent Price is in it.
Nice.
Yeah. And aww. I remember that one being really good. At one point, Treat Williams drives an ambulance into another car and they both explode. And then he just walks out and is just charred from head to toe for the last 10 minutes of the movie.
Oh, and this means we might get Skyscraper at some point.
Oh, man, Skyscraper.
Skyscraper.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one, too. So many
a
good
Cinemax
ones.
Cinemax classic.
Yep. Oh, the Fantastic Four.
Is that Anna Nicole?
Anna Nicole Smith. Yeah, yeah.
It was just Die Hard.
It was.
Anna Nicole Smith is Die Hard.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Which is as ridiculous as it sounds.
Were you guys there for the Christmas one where the guy who was vaguely an android decided he wanted to take over a nuclear launch site on Christmas Eve or something?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. He was kind of like a Terminator or something.
Yeah, kind of like that.
I remember that one.
There was a guy, there's like a normal guy and a woman and a kid or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. What was that called?
I don't remember.
But yeah, I remember that one. It was really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Have they just linked all these on their Facebook page?
Yeah. So what you do is you go onto their Facebook page and you go to their the event for the April Bad Movie Night. And in the discussion, in like the comments for that, they put up a thing that said, oh, hey, by the way, this is probably not going to happen, but we have been putting them online and there's the link to the Google Drive. So you kind of have to search for it, but they're all up there.
Yeah, that's the first thing I'm going to do when we are done with this.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff. Oh, Hard Ticket to Hawaii. Did you guys see? Were you there for that one?
No, I don't remember that one.
Oh, yeah. It's the dumb action movie in Hawaii where at the very end, there's a subplot with a weird snake on the island and it pops up out of a toilet and a guy busts through a wall on a motorcycle and blows it up with a bazooka.
Ladies call him King Snake. So, Doom also came out, same time as Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
And
tell me about a Doom.
Playing the hell out of it.
Yeah. This is Doom Eternal, right?
Yes, Doom Eternal.
Okay, cool.
Sequel to the previous Doom.
Yeah, Doom 2016.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, how's Dune?
It's fantastic. It's more, pretty much more of the same, but mm-hmm. more of it.
Cool.
So it plays very similar to Doom 2016, but they've added all kinds of bells and whistles on top. There's a surprising amount of platforming.
Oh, really?
Which I'm kind of into. Like, I like platforming, so I like it. I think mm-hmm. it's pretty divisive. A lot of people don't, because it's Doom, and that's not traditionally something you do in a Doom game, but I think it breaks up the fights pretty well. And you can, like, climb walls and jump off walls and air dash. Like, it's kind of reminiscent of Metroid Prime.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Mobility-wise, and I think it's good. If anything, the only negative I can think of is that sometimes it's just almost too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're juggling a lot of things at once. You can't carry a whole lot of ammo from the beginning. And you're constantly like, well, I should use my chainsaw now because I get ammo pickups when I use the chainsaw. Do I have enough chainsaw? Yes, I have energy for the chainsaw.
Okay.
There's a shoulder-mounted flamethrower that you get, and when you light people on fire with that, then they drop armor that you can use to get hurt less. And it's like a constant juggling act of, like, do I need armor? Do I need health? Because when you do, like, the glory kill fatalities on the bad guys, that makes them drop health. So you're constantly juggling during combat all these different resources at once.
Oh, wow.
And it's just super intense, but fun.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many callbacks to, like, every game id Software has ever made. So if you like Doom or Wolfenstein or even Commander Keen, you're going to find, like, 300 throwbacks to all that.
Oh, excellent. I heard you could play all of Doom and Doom 2, like the original, in this.
Yeah, you can unlock Doom and Doom 2. My favorite thing, I think, in the game so far is he has a little bedroom on his spaceship. He's got, like, this space cathedral, flying space cathedral that he lives in. Mm-hmm. And you can go into his little living quarters, and he's got all kinds of dumb stuff in there. There's, like, comic books all over the floor and, like, guitar, like, ridiculously metal looking guitars on the wall.
Nice.
I forget what point I was gonna make with this.
Doom and Doom 2?
Yeah, oh yeah, he's got an old DOS PC on his desk.
Oh, wow.
And if you collect all the floppy disks throughout the game, you can install Doom 1 on it. And then if you find out the password to the computer, you can play Doom 2.
That's excellent. That's
which the password itself is a throwback to the Doom novels.
Oh, really?
Came out back in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
So it goes deep.
Really? Wow. What about his rabbit? His pet rabbit? Is that in there?
There is an oil painting of him holding the rabbit on the wall of his bedroom.
That's awesome.
And there's an empty rabbit cage next to his desk too.
Aww.
And there's a folder on the desktop of his main computer, which is like this insane 3 flat screen machine, like 3 display machine. He's got like a ridiculous gamer rig in there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a folder on his desktop that just says Daisy Picks, which that's the name of his rabbit.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
There's like 4 or 5 references to the dope fish from Commander Keen.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
That green buck-tooth fish that shows up in a ton of other games. This has got, you can find it in like 3 different times in one level. Mm-hmm. The chainsaw has a picture of him on it.
Wow.
That's so full of references.
That's excellent. Yeah.
You can find vinyl records of music from the original Doom games and from like Wolfenstein and Commander Keen.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah. It's just really cool, and it's worth the price of admission, definitely. There's just so much content and stuff.
Yeah, sounds like it. Jeez. How far are you into it?
Pretty far. I mean, I don't know how long it is, but I've put at least maybe 15 to 20 hours in it at this point.
Wow, all right. Excellent.
Hey, speaking of, like, that movie with the cyborg or whatever.
Yeah.
Was it Project Shadow Chaser?
It is Project Shadow Chaser. Yes, that's the one.
That's
got
a
it.
Great name.
That is a really good name.
Yeah, the dude's got like white, like stark white hair
and really light eyes, like he's wearing contacts or something. And he hates Christmas. He just hates it so much.
Yeah, I just spent this entire time while you guys were talking about it trying to find this stupid movie. Because I couldn't let it go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you're doing the important work, I tell you.
Six terrorists and an invincible android take the president's daughter hostage in a high-rise hospital of the future.
Yep, that's it. That's the one. Super good.
Yep, that's it.
Cool. All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about some more stuff.
Hey, we're back. That was Into the Unknown from Frozen 2. And there's a reason why we played that, because there's usually a reason behind the music we choose.
Yeah.
Josh, tell us about it.
Well, I guess we just couldn't let it go.
You got it. You win. You win the episode.
But I guess part of the whole thing with, you know, quarantine and nobody going anywhere and everything, Disney has been releasing stuff super early on their Disney Plus app,
which is pretty cool of them.
It is really cool of them. Yeah.
So I watched Frozen 2 like 3 months before it came out on Blu-ray.
Excellent.
I still have not seen it.
Same here. Haven't watched it yet.
As far as movies go, it's pretty good.
Good.
It's definitely more compelling than the last movie. And it basically kind of goes into like almost like some like history of their kingdom or whatever.
Oh, cool.
And like what happened to their parents and all kinds of other stuff.
Huh.
And that's interesting.
That's what was missing in the first one was any sort of depth.
Oh, and the pseudo origin of Elsa's powers.
Oh, cool.
Interesting. Are there other people with powers like for the different seasons or something?
Sort of, but they're not people.
Oh, they're not.
They're kind of like spirits or elements or something.
This is like some deep lore.
Oh yeah, like at one point I'm like, this is the fifth element.
Oh, excellent.
But yeah, there's like a little fire guy and wind and earth and water and, you know, stuff like that.
Who has the power of heart?
Yeah,
go yeah, it's planet. A monkey.
The more I think about Frozen 1, I'm like, that movie really did just ride on the one good song.
Oh, yeah. But it's kind of funny. There's like a really super meta part where like, because there's this whole thing where Olaf, and God, I hate Olaf so much.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody hates Olaf so much.
But he like keeps talking throughout the whole movie about how he has this theory that water holds memories. And he's kind of right.
Oh.
And like, Elsa kind of like freezes like water in the air or something, and it creates scenes or whatever.
Huh.
Interesting.
Kind of like taps the past or whatever. And one of the things is she's going through this room, and it's all these highlight moments of like the first Frozen movie. And at one point where it has like a version of her singing "Let It Go." And as she's walking by it, she just kind of looks at it and goes, huh. I was like, oh, good. They're acknowledging they even hated it.
But no, that's cool. It's I'm going to have to check that one out. That's
it's a pretty good movie. And then, though, I'm sitting there watching it and I'm like, man, Elsa didn't learn anything. She's still selfish.
It's a sequel syndrome where any lessons that were learned in the previous movie are weirdly forgotten.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes and no, I guess. Kristoff has some pretty good moments and whatnot. And then there's like a couple new characters and stuff. But all in all, it's a good movie.
Cool.
Though I'm sad I have to wait for till April 3rd to watch Onward.
Yeah, I'm glad they're putting it on Disney Plus.
Yeah, same here.
I mean, it's available for digital download right now. Like, I could go on my PlayStation and rent it if I really wanted to.
A lot of those early release movies they're putting out, they're jacking up the price way too high.
Yeah, that is kind of the catch with this one. Yeah. Because, I mean, that is a direction the industry has been kind of slowly pushing anyway.
To go bypass the theater at all and just watch it at home.
Yeah. Which I have some opinions on that like, you know, it's... I like the idea of being able to sit at home for one, but also going to see a movie in the theater is kind of a communal kind of thing, and you lose a little bit of that.
I like the theater experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I agree that
it's a ritual.
Yes. Yeah. But I agree they're setting the price for the watch on demand way too high. Like, it's what, $20 or something?
Yeah, that's because I looked into Trolls 2 because I'm like, oh, maybe I can watch that for cheap and see where the McElroys are in it. But then I saw it was $20. I'm like, hell no.
Yeah, I had a similar thought with Bloodshot or Bloodspot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I am not spending $20 to watch a Vin Diesel movie. Especially this without the street sharks.
This coming from the dude who, quote unquote, oops, bought all of the Fast and the Furious movies last night.
Did I say bought? I said no. I said downloaded. There's a difference.
Okay.
Oh, I should mention, that's something that I'll have as a check them out next week. I have all of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and all of the Fast and the Furious Cinematic Universe set up and ready to binge. Did you know that the Marvel Cinematic Universe back to back without any stops is 2 days and 2 hours long?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
To change it up, you should do one Marvel, one Fast, one Marvel, one Fast.
Well, it's at one point, I believe the types of movie will kind of congeal because the Fast movies stop being about cars after the fourth or fifth one, I think.
And then they just turn into generic action movies.
They become action movies. Around the point that The Rock and Charlize Theron show up.
I mean, Tokyo Drift has a Hulk car.
But it's about family.
It is about family. Yeah.
When you're here, you're family.
Fast and Furious is the ponder. Yeah.
Fast and the Furious is the Olive Garden of movies.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
So who's the salad and who's the breadsticks?
Well, Vin Diesel resembles a breadstick, so I would say he is probably the breadstick.
I guess Michelle Rodriguez would be the salad then.
Yeah. Would that make Paul Walker the soup?
I guess.
Because he's kind of
who's
a drip.
The big meatball.
A burnt one.
It's The Rock. Yeah. Does anyone else have any more check-ems before we get into the news segment of the show?
Nothing pressing. We watched that show about the witch military.
Oh, okay.
It's a Freeform show it's on that network, Freeform, about like an alternate history United States where they made a deal with witches in Salem times to protect the United States in times of war with witch powers.
Oh, interesting.
And it is a lot. Like, they really pile on a lot of stuff in that first. There's only one episode, so it's maybe not enough to talk in depth about. But they pile in like a lot of like weird backstory and stuff like within this first episode. Like, they're asking a lot of their audience for their show that is actually, it's kind of dumb. Like, it's got a lot of great world building and backstory, but like the acting's not very good. And the dialogue is even worse.
Oh man.
But the concept is so interesting that I'll definitely watch, you know, more than just the first one, but...
Yeah, that's a pretty high concept kind of show.
Yeah, it's on Hulu, so if piques your interest, that's where it's at.
Oh, yeah, might have to check that out. I'm sure
we'll report back after more episodes have come out.
Yeah, sounds good.
What's it called?
Motherland Fort Salem.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah, I will.
It's like witches with a weird military bent to it, which I don't know how much I care for that particular aspect, but it's interesting.
Yeah,
they're in like witch boot camp.
Yeah,
definitely unique, I would say.
I mean, sometimes I like weird, like alternate history kind of stuff. Like, I really wanted to watch The Man in the High Castle.
Yeah, I wanted to watch that too. I never got around to it.
But I'm like, I don't know, man.
I've read about a fourth of the book. It was fine, but I can never finish books for some reason. So let's see the news.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get into some news. Okay, so the big news this week, Nintendo dropped a mini Nintendo Direct out of nowhere on Thursday. So we're just going to go through real quick and talk about some of the highlights.
I don't know why they called it mini, because it was a half hour.
It was a half hour long, yeah.
I think they're just trying to temper your expectations by saying mini at the beginning, I guess.
Maybe yeah. It was mini because they didn't have Sakurai and what's his face in it.
Yeah.
And I mean, whoever a lot of the things. President or... Yeah.
Bowser never shows up in these things.
He
Doug
does.
Bowser.
Yeah.
The president of Nintendo.
Yes.
Nintendo America.
Yeah. Yeah. Nintendo of America.
Yeah.
I can never remember who the president of the Japanese side is anymore.
I don't. Ever. Yeah.
They've switched it up like twice, I think, in the past 5 years.
Yeah.
Since Iwata passed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was that real old guy there for a while.
Yeah. He looked like if you looked up like a stereotypical picture of a Japanese businessman.
That was
on
him.
Google image search. That was what he looked like.
Yeah. Maybe this was called a Nintendo Direct Mini because a lot of like the majority of the things in it were games that were previously announced and they were just showing more information about them.
That's true.
There wasn't really a whole lot of new stuff in this, but let's go ahead and take it from the top. Tell me about the Xenoblade remaster.
Yeah, they're remastering the first Xenoblade Chronicles game, Xenoblade Chronicles. it looks better. They updated the UI a little bit and it adds a new chapter to the end. Yeah. So you get to spend more time with your boy Shulk.
That was originally on the Wii U, correct?
No, it was the Wii.
Oh, it was a regular Wii title.
Yeah,
okay,
it was a regular Wii game.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. But yeah, it looks really good.
It's one of the few 3DS games that only works on the 3DS XL or whatever.
Oh, yeah, right. Right. But yeah, this Redux looks good. I like it.
I spent a lot of time with Xenoblade Chronicles 2. I never finished it, but it was fun. And this one will probably be better because a lot of the weird mechanics that are in Xenoblade 2 are not in this one.
Oh, that's good.
Like having like that weird gacha system where you gacha weapon waifus.
Oh, yeah. This trailer did not make it look as though you dated your sword.
No, you do not do that in the first
okay,
one.
Okay, good. Good.
This one is strictly JRPG stuff.
Okay, because that always kind of skeeved me out a little bit from Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Yeah, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is a little skeevy. This one, not so much.
Good.
I really hope that they remaster Xenoblade Chronicles X, the one that was on Wii U, that had the giant mechs in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that you have to play the game for like 50 hours before they give you a giant mech license. It got an unfair shake like every game that came out on the Wii U did.
Yeah. But, you know, they're slowly going through and every Wii U exclusive is being ported over to the Switch. So eventually, more than likely, it'll show up.
The only thing we're missing is like Mario 3D Land at this point.
And it's probably
3D
coming.
World.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which that's a great game. I hope they do remaster that.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a lot of fun. Okay, so the next thing we have here on the list, they teased very briefly the next Smash Brothers DLC character, and it is someone from the fighting game ARMS, about the spring-armed fighter people. That was a launch title for the Switch.
For the Switch.
Yes. Yeah, which I feel like this is a long time coming. And ARMS is a cool game. It deserves the representation.
ARMS is a cool game. It kind of got a poor shake because Nintendo was kind of hoping it would become the fighting game version of Splatoon, but then they released Splatoon like a month after ARMS released, and everybody jumped on Splatoon 2.
Not even.
Yeah. And so ARMS kind of got kind of got let down a little bit from that. What character and do you think it's going
to
be?
I don't think it was deep enough either. It wasn't as deep as people wanted it to be.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'm going to go wild here and say it's going to be all of them or a good number of them as alternate skins, like the Koopalings and Bowser Jr.
Oh, yeah, that would be good. That'd be good. I am not 100% sure if it's going to be the main character, Springman, because he is already a assist trophy, and they've been pretty good about not crossing over between assist trophies and regular players.
I guess if I was going to guess one character, I'd say Min Min, the ramen dragon arm girl.
That's a really good choice. My heart is set on Twintel, the French one with the hair springs.
Yeah, she rules, and I wish it was her, but they said it was somebody with stretchy arms, and she has stretchy hair.
She has stretchy hair. My other guess is Helix, the weird blobby alien science project guy.
Gross boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think my only reasoning behind that Helix is the last DLC pack, there's no weirdos. They're all pretty standard. I mean, I guess Banjo and Kazooie are kind of weirdos, but even then, they look like a bear and a bird. Smash needs more weirdos.
Yeah, I'd be happy with Helix. He's got a strong design.
He does.
A strong weirdo design.
Yeah, yeah. He would be almost like the Blanka of the DLC pack. Kinda.
Yeah, I could see that. Or what if it'll be, what was his name? The end boss.
Oh, I can't remember his name, the eagle theme guy.
Yeah, the strong superhero guy. That would be a good one, too.
I feel like there's a good chance it could be the ninja guy because he was a popular one.
He was pretty popular. Yeah, that's true.
He was one of the higher selected ones in matches, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
I mean, his like special move or whatever was okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so hey, go ahead, sorry.
Does Smash have a ninja?
Sheik, yes,
is as
Sheik.
Close as that.
Sheik is a ninja. Greninja is a ninja.
Oh yeah, Greninja is a frog ninja. We need Ryu Hayabusa for Ninja Gaiden.
I agree. I
slash dead or alive.
I bet you that's going to be one of the characters.
I've just recently played a little bit of Ninja Gaiden 2 because it was on Game Pass, and that he would be so cool in Smash. He's got a lot of weapons he could use, and a lot of flippy jumps. It would be rad.
That would be really cool. Yeah. All right. Hey, tell me a little bit about Bravely Default 2.
It's the third game in the Bravely Default franchise. Apparently, Bravely Second wasn't actually the second game. It was a continuation of the first game story, and this is a completely new JRPG along the lines of an old Final Fantasy. Basically the whole impetus behind Bravely Default is like, what if we made a Final Fantasy but not like the new ones?
Pretty much, yeah. I remember playing Bravely Default 1 on the 3DS, and I remember liking the combat system and being okay with the graphics, but I hated the story with a passion, and the ending was incredibly weak, I thought. Also, the main characters reminded me of those Precious Moments children, and that kind of...
They do kind of look like Precious Moments children, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked all their different outfit changes, though, when you change their job class.
Yeah, that was cool. That was a nice touch.
But there was a lot of really strong designs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I don't know if I'm going to pick up Bravely Default 2. I would have to read... That's one I'm as a wait-and-see kind of thing. Because I don't know. I don't know. We'll see.
I probably will. Depends on if I'm in the mood for a JRPG when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've got Dragon Quest XI. Is that what one it was?
Yes.
That I haven't even touched.
Mm-hmm.
So, technically, it's Samantha's copy of Dragon Quest XI. But still, I could be playing it, and I haven't touched it. So after that, we've got Ninjala, which just looks like Ninja Splatoon.
Yeah, pretty much.
It looks really cute, and it's something they showed off at E3 maybe a couple of years ago at this point.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's come a long way from there. Like, there it was just kids blowing bubblegum and popping around in a city. Mm-hmm. And now we've got all these different weapons and a lot of melee combat going on. And, I mean, it looks cool.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
It's a little derivative of Splatoon.
I like that it's free, so I'm in.
Yeah, you got nothing to lose.
Exactly.
I didn't know it was free.
Yeah, it looks like it's free, but a lot of the costumes and weapons and stuff are going to be pay DLC type deals, I guess.
That's fair.
So, yeah. Yeah, I'm okay with that. Okay, they're also porting a bunch of stuff over. We're just going to run through them very quickly. So the 2K games, BioShock and Borderlands.
And there was another one too.
XCOM. XCOM, yeah.
That'll be really fun on the Switch. That's a good pick up and play strategy game.
Yeah. So we have those Saints Row Reelected, which is a the first Saints Row or what Saints Row game?
It's the latest one, but Saints Row 4.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Okay.
Where you're the president?
You're elected president of the United States, and it's hilarious. It's Grand Theft Auto where you're the superhero president of the United States.
And also kind of a nasty boy.
Yeah, also a gang leader, nasty boy.
Yeah. That game is a lot.
It's as dumb as it sounds, and it's tongue-in-cheek and hilarious, and it's a great game. I played it back when it came out on Xbox back in the day.
Yeah.
I did too. And then there was the one where you went to hell.
Yeah, Gat Out of Hell.
Yeah.
I think that's the latest one. That was the last one they made.
It was like a half game. It wasn't even really a full game.
Yeah, it was like DLC. They decided to put it on a disc.
It was like Far Cry Blood Dragon.
Oh, okay.
Or New Dawn.
Yeah.
It's like we need to pad out our release schedule. We need an injection of cash at about this time. So make half of a game and sell it like it was the whole game.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple more of these ports. Jedi Knights, Jedi Academy.
I've never played this particular Star Wars game.
It looks interesting, but it looks neat.
I played it way back in the day, and I think I still have it on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's Kyle Katarn starting a Jedi Academy. I remember playing
On Steam.
Yeah, I remember playing a lot of multiplayer in it.
But forget all that stuff. Star Wars Racer is going to be on the Switch.
Oh,
I love that
boy.
Game.
Heck
now yeah,
that's pod racing.
It is, in fact, pod racing.
That is a pretty wizard release.
It's so out of left field that they're like, oh, also we put this dumb racing game we made 20 years ago.
I hope they don't update any of the graphics. I hope it still has weird Nintendo 64 blocky graphics, bad texture maps and all.
I can't wait to get yelled at by Sebulba.
Yep. Sebulba's ship, the only one that had weapons on it. Well, seriously, it had his ship had a buzzsaw on the side so that you can do extra damage if you ram into the side of their opponent's pods. Everything else, all the other pods didn't have any kind of protective gear or weapons or anything.
That sounds incredibly unbalanced.
Oh, it was. Well, oh, yeah.
Well, Sebulba was a cheater, so.
That's true.
Yeah. Also, it was...
He was like the odd job of that game, where you're like, don't pick Sebulba. Nobody's allowed to be Sebulba.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, like, the arcade game was great.
Oh, it was? I never played the arcade. I just played the 64.
Back when GameWorks was still a thing in Easton.
Oh, yeah.
They had it.
Oh, excellent. Very cool.
Pod racing was the best thing that came out of the prequel trilogy. That and memes about High Ground.
Well, yeah.
Darth Maul. I like Darth Maul.
That's true. Darth Maul's pretty cool.
Darth Maul's pretty cool.
Oh,
yeah.
And the hello there memes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like Obi-Wan's just a meme machine.
Yeah, kind of. A little bit. All right. Hey, what's Shin Sakai Into the Depths about?
It looks like a post-apocalyptic Metroid that's underwater.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Capcom game. They usually make pretty good ones.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's already available on Apple Arcade, and it's also, I guess it came out when they announced it for the Switch, so you could get it now if you wanted. It looked cool. It looked like a wet Metroid.
Well, yes and no. Like, you're the last human on Earth or whatever, and there's like a whole system of you have to balance your oxygen tanks and water pressure.
Hmm.
I actually got a lot of vibes of SteamWorld Dig, which was a 3DS game.
And also very Metroid-y, but with crafting and digging.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good game, though. The SteamWorld games are great.
They are very good. Yeah, I like them a lot. Okay, so we just have a couple more of these left to go, and we have a couple minutes left to go. So Ring Fit Adventure is getting a pretty good size update. It's getting a music rhythm game mode, as well
that
as
all the music is from other Nintendo games.
Well, yeah, that is kind of the catch. But it has Jump Up Superstar from Mario Odyssey.
Yeah,
and that's a banger. So
that's all you need.
Yeah, just do that one over and over and over again.
And they're adding a jogging mode that takes out the battles, the RPG battles, which that can be fun.
Yeah,
because it
just
almost plays
run.
Like a platformer where you got to run in place. So
yeah,
that's a good idea.
It's a good and it's a free update, which is also very cool. Yeah, they talked a little bit about the Pokemon DLC. That's the first part of it's going to be released sometime in June, I believe, is what they said.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, and it still looks good. It looks like Pokemon. We were talking before the show that we're not quite as excited for it now, I guess, but you know.
Yeah, the shine's kind of come off that Pokemon game for some reason for me. I don't know why, because it was a fine game.
Yeah, it was good. I just, I find myself having trouble going back to it to complete the decks and do the gameplay loop with catching and evolving and that stuff. But with this DLC, they're going to reintroduce a whole bunch of older things back into the game. And it has a weird Shaolin monk kind of aesthetic to it. So, I don't know. Might be fun.
Yeah, it might be the shot in the arm the game needs.
Yeah. And last thing we have here on the list for the Nintendo Mini Direct was a pack of board games.
Yeah, Clubhouse Games World something.
51 something something board game something.
And it looks pretty neat, honestly. It's a cool package to have on your Switch to be able to just bust out chess or checkers or Mancala.
Yeah, it has Mancala. It has solitaire and dominoes and like a bunch of different. It has what they called it. I forget what they called it. They didn't call it Yahtzee, but they called it Yacht Dice.
Yeah,
and it's just Yahtzee, but. There were a couple of those where it's like the name of the game is a copywritten name or trademark name, so they had to call it something else.
It's like
that
they
one
don't
stuck
have
out.
Battleship, but they have boat fights.
Boat fights, yeah. Yeah, right. But yeah, it looks fun. It depends on how much the pack will cost.
I think it's like $40.
Oh, really?
Which is a little steep, yeah.
That is a little steep. I mean, I guess that is still less than $1 per game because there's 51 games in the pack, but for the amount of time you spend in it, I don't know if 40 is the right call, but you know, we'll see.
Just the fact that you could lay your Switch down on a table and have checkers on there that you can play is kind of neat on its own. It's kind of that novelty is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. That is very cool. You're right. And that's it. That's all for the Nintendo Direct. And as it turns out, that is also the end of the show. So we'll go ahead and wrap things up here. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
Do you have social media? We know you do. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can call the show with your comments or questions. Cody, give the listeners something they can call in and talk to us about.
Call in and tell us who you think the ARMS character that's going to be in Smash Brothers is.
Here we go. And that phone number is 586-372-8255. 8020. We're also on various podcast catchers like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and more. I'd like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff at davidpencil.com. And finally, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/nerdoverload now. If you like the show and you want to help support us, you can head over there and check out ways you can do that. So again, thank you all for tuning in this week, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out, remotely.